You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to the School of Influence podcast, where the queen and king of influencer marketing, authors and professors Amanda Russell and Neil Schaefer, cut through the noise and dissect what makes brands and professionals influential. No fluff, just the real deal.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the School of Influence podcast. And today, Neil is going to dispel who our guest is today and a little bit about how he knows her. And it's going to be a really great episode.
Yes. So today's guest is, thank you, Amanda, is Sandra Long. Sandra, I've known as being one of those, having written two books on LinkedIn myself back in the day, as one of those LinkedIn quote-unquote experts. But Sandra's more than that, with an amazing corporate background and obviously the author of the best-selling book for personal branding for LinkedIn, but also really working with corporations above and beyond that in social selling and employee advocacy programs. Sandra, together with Tim Hughes, who you heard on a recent podcast, was also part of the Rutgers Business School Social Selling in a Digital World program. So I'm really excited to introduce and to welcome Sandra to the podcast. Sandra, welcome.
Hey, thank you, Neil. And thanks, Amanda. This is going to be awesome. I'm so happy to be here. What a great topic, right?
Indeed. And Sandra, I want to take a step back into how you got started in this world. And not as a baby, but, you know, in this professional world.
So I'm in my second career. My first career was all around B2B sales. And I worked my way up the ladder in a corporation, did all kinds of, had all kinds of opportunities, starting in territory rep, enterprise sales, team leadership, VP of sales, did that whole thing. And it was fantastic. And then in 2013, I started my own business. And I will say that while I was in the corporate side, I discovered LinkedIn. I joined LinkedIn very early in 2005. So I was really just, you know, using it for research primarily. So not that we weren't really doing the social selling the way we think of it now, but I was able to use LinkedIn to get great information about people and companies so that it just meant when I had a conversation, I could take it to the next level faster because I had this knowledge that I never had before. You know, I was doing that and people at my company were asking me for insights about LinkedIn, like informally helping people early on.
And that launched a new company where you now formally and professionally help people and help businesses.
Yeah, exactly. My company. And it also occurred to me pretty quickly that I wanted to write my book, LinkedIn for Personal Branding. I almost felt like there was an urgency that for me, it was a race to do it. I wanted to combine the topics of personal branding and LinkedIn. And the first version of that was in 2016. And it was fun because it wasn't just about the profile. It was talking about content. And back then in 2016, content is not where we are now. So of course I had to update this year, but it was very much, I just felt so motivated to get that out. So I'm thrilled about it.
So personal branding, LinkedIn, two topics that we want to dive in deeper. But when a lot of people think about personal branding, they may not think about LinkedIn, this notion that it's a very, you know, conservative professional network. Why does LinkedIn make sense for your personal branding? Let's start there.
Well, I mean, it all comes back to the trust factor. And when you think about it, you know, so people are doing business with people that they trust and they respect, and you get to know people, you know, being on that platform, that is your professional network. So particularly, you know, I think my first attitude about the whole thing was, this is a B2B world. But I have to say, that's evolved over time, it is no longer a place just from a B2B perspective. I'm sure you probably agree with that, Neil.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it is your professional, it is your best professional network. And so the impression that you're creating is absolutely important. We talk about the buyer's journey and, you know, influencing those impressions so that you're having conversations.
So how does the personal brand influence conversations?
Well, hopefully we're inspiring conversations. So a few things, I mean, to me, the personal brand is on, particularly when I think about from a LinkedIn perspective, you know, your profile is sort of a foundational piece, your profile and building out a strategic network. To me, those are just really foundational, important pieces to do. And then the content, now we think about people when we create impressions, so much of it is by the content that they produce, right? But it all works together because if I'm impressed with your content, Neil, I'm going to go look at your profile. If I'm really interested in you, I'm going to dig into that, right? And your network is important because if you haven't built out that strategic network, who's going to know about you? Who's going to see you? How are you going to, you know, how are you going to have any of that visibility? So to me, it all works together.
Yeah. So LinkedIn is like a very kind of a mystery topic to a lot of people, especially the younger generation. I look at some of my students and wonder, like, besides setting up a profile, first of all, actually, we should start there. What can you do? What are some of like the things that you look for when to set up a strong profile? And then I guess what are the mistakes or things you should stay away from?
Okay. So the profile is really the first piece of the foundation. And the first thing that you want to do is be thinking about yourself as well as your targeted, your preferred buyer. It's like, so really be thinking about the entire ecosystem. I think one of the mistakes people make is they just jump in and start putting in all their stats and their experience. I think it's important to first think about how you want to be perceived. How are you perceived? How do you want to come across to whom, so that it will help you in terms of how you put together your profile. Now, there's a lot of elements in the profile, and the first impressions do count. So the first impressions are made in that introduction card. That is the very top of your profile. It includes your headshot, your headline, your background banner. It also has some other information, links to your company page. That's considered your introduction card. And if that's good, then people will then scroll down and read the rest. But if you lose them in the top part, the introduction card, then they're not going to be as interested. So that's really important to get that intro card strong. And then the rest of the profile supports it. It all works together. So having an about section that speaks to your preferred buyer so that you're attracting the right folks. And you have that right message of how you help. And then your experience sections, all of those things. I mean, there's lots of advice around each one of these sections. And Neil knows this because he was the leader. He's the inspiration for many of us that got into this line of work. So it's the profile is really important. It's not only what you write, but it's now very visual. It's very visual. And there's all these new opportunities with a featured section. You can put video. And now you can put a cover video at your headshot, which is brand new. So
interesting. And how do you decide, like, one of the things that I've struggled with myself is, and I think this is the more common today, is that people wear many different hats. Like, there's the more traditional title, like, you know, lawyer, doctor, teacher, whatever. But then there's also all kinds of different, like, you're a strategist, you're an author, you're a speaker, you're all of these things. What do you put there for your title? And then that's actually like, for example, you are that person. You are, you know, a teacher, a speaker, an author, all of the above. What's going to be most impactful?
Right. I love that question. And actually, Amanda, one thing I'll say to me, it's very dynamic. I'm constantly updating it and changing that. But, you know, first thing is keywords are very important. So using the right language for a couple of reasons. It's number one, that people can find you from that. But number two, and important, is what is the impression of that language that you pick, right? So what are you calling yourself? Because you know, there's a job title that's in the experience section. And then that headline is in that introduction card. that's where you want to really think about who you're focusing on, how you're appealing. And here's good news. During last year, it was 120 characters in your headline. Now it's longer, up to 220 characters. So you can be more creative and think about how you want to come across. What value do you bring using keywords, that kind of thing. Does that help, Amanda?
It's very, yes. Also, you're constantly changing. And so what do you use?
Well, what am I using today?
Yeah, that's what I know. Yeah.
So I change it. I typically put in, oftentimes, for a long time, I had author of LinkedIn for personal branding. And the reason is that's something that I want to be very visible and very out there. And then I have social selling, LinkedIn speaker, LinkedIn trainer. I have TEDx speaker, because that's something that I want to highlight. But I believe I just changed it like a few days ago. So I think it's, I don't know, I look it up, but it's fun.
I think it's definitely a best practice. You see, many of us will have those keywords, whereas on an Instagram profile bio, the keywords may not be as important because they're not searchable. I think LinkedIn, it's like SEO, it's like a website. So they look at your main title, your main description. And for LinkedIn, that is your main description, that professional headline. So that's where those keywords become so important.
100%, 100%. They are so critical. And I love that you said it's SEO, because it really is. I mean, LinkedIn is a search engine, and they've built in all these new search fields. And if you're looking, you know, I always say, if you're looking for a video, you're going to go to YouTube. If you're looking for a book, you probably go to Amazon. But if you're looking for a professional, you're going to go to LinkedIn, right?
So Sandra, since you published the first edition of LinkedIn for Personal Branding, we've seen the emergence of LinkedIn influencers. And in fact, in many young circles, LinkedIn is sort of the place to be, because it's where the most organic engagement is, especially if you consider polls, but that's a whole other subject that we won't get lost on. Tell us more about LinkedIn influencers. Who are they? Who are they influencing? Any people that you know that are doing this?
Okay, so it's a topic. So to me, there's sort of the official LinkedIn influencers and there's unofficial LinkedIn influencers. So the official LinkedIn influencers are kind of in three categories. The first one is the influencers that were selected by LinkedIn. You know about them, that have been around for a long time, people like a Richard Branson, and their content is promoted. And you can't really apply to do that. You have to be selected. These are global leaders. So that was the first piece. I would consider, when I say official, they have something called top voices, which LinkedIn is selecting people both geographically and by certain topic areas, where they are making lists of these top voices. And it's very prestigious to be selected for that. And again, LinkedIn is making those selections. And then just really recently, they've introduced a new program, which I'll kind of put in the same category, which is the Creator Accelerator Program. And so they're investing, I think, $25 million for this creator program. And they're going to be selecting 100 people to participate. And they're going to be providing resources as well as funding and really promoting and guiding these folks that are the first cohort is this 100 people. So those are like officially through LinkedIn. I don't know if I missed anything, Neil, and maybe that.
No. And it's really interesting because LinkedIn was the first social network to actually say these people are influencers. No other. We've had verified check marks, but, you know, LinkedIn says these people. I mean, Barack Obama, obviously. I'm thinking of like Dave Kirpin was also influencer. And now they're basically copying the other social networks by saying, we want you to create more content. Here's some money. We've seen TikTok do this, Instagram do it, and now LinkedIn. So it's interesting that it's pretty similar. But I'm curious as to, outside of that, the informal sort of influencers that we see popping up.
Yes. So right. And that's kind of where most of us live, is the informal side of it. So, I mean, I would say, and I love in your book, the way you've described the influencers, you put them in those categories of macro and micro, and I like those. But so I would say that there are a lot of young people, and I think maybe this is where you want me to head to, a lot of young people that have come on and really taken over a lot of the energy and brought in a lot of new energy into LinkedIn. And they are coming in, and a lot of the posts that we're seeing are extremely personal. extremely personal, to the point where they're getting an incredible amount of traction. But we also have longtime users that are kind of griping and complaining about the fact that LinkedIn's becoming like Facebook, it's too personal. So there's sort of these different camps that are out there. Have you found that, Neil and Amanda?
Definitely those that are very personal, leveraging video. Some have done very, very well, gotten traction. You know, new authors, people with their own programs that emerge from LinkedIn, which is quite unique. But I'm curious, Sandra, just to sort of wrap up the conversation and move it now to the corporate side. So understanding this concept of personal branding on LinkedIn and the many ways in which people that are more real are getting more influence and gaining more conversation or more people are listening to them on the platform. What is your advice then to our listeners who are, you know, entrepreneurs, business leaders? How can they take this and somehow implement it in their business?
Yeah, and this is the world I live in. So all, you know, this is the real world for me is that corporate side, whether it's a large company or a small company. So I guess the first thing is that the employees are critical parts of any kind of strategy. And I think, you know, what we're starting to see many more companies embrace the fact that those employees are part of the brand. The brand is not just the logo. The brand is, you know, includes those employees and the voices of those employees. So the savvy companies recognize that and are either encouraging that or, you know, even going beyond that, making, you know, creating formalized programs, brand ambassador programs, advocacy, all of those types of things. It's very encouraging because I think the old style, old school attitude was, oh, I don't want my employee on LinkedIn because they're going to find a new job or that some they're going to get found by the recruiter. So many companies have moved away and recognized that their employees are valuable assets. And don't, I mean, I'm sure you're seeing the same thing with your clients.
Yeah, but I'm curious because there's some that do, but many who still don't.
Yeah.
So how do you convince those that are on the sideline that this is something, how would they get started?
Yes. Well, so leadership's got to be part of this. Like if you've got to have your top leadership be, you know, convinced that this is important. I mean, so there's a whole aspect of how do you convince?
Well, how do you convince them? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really all about getting back to the first part of our conversation in the trust factor, right? And the fact that if you multiply out the number of employees that you have times what their opportunity for impact is versus the company alone is sort of a math. It's a math thing. You can see what that can mean. And the fact the employees are out there doing it. Do you want them to do it with your guidance or do you want them to do it like however they want to do it? So why not guide them, encourage them, and even excite them, like get them, you know, make it, it can be very much a team thing.
Well, question for you is if you, like, for example, if senior leadership is listening to this or someone that has their own company and they're like, yeah, no, there's all this talk about, you know, empowering your employees to be on social media. And like that's building the infrastructure for us as an, it's a cost in both time and resources. And, you know, we hear all these things about, oh, Grant, let's all make them their own brands and create their own content. And they're all doing this. But like, how does that translate? So like what I'm asking, I guess, is do you have an example? I think sometimes examples and stories speak louder than telling somebody that it's going to be great for them and they have all these new networks. But like, yeah, do you have any examples of companies you've worked with that have done this and how it's really impacted their bottom line and their company as a whole?
Yeah, well, I mean, I really like the fact that you recognize a couple things with it. You had a lot of points in there. One thing is that some companies don't want to have their people be creators. I mean, that's a big that's a conversation that you need to have. We need to have with our clients because, so you know, especially if I'm, you know, I'm working with a sales team, they don't necessarily want to have, you know, have them spend their time creating. They want them to be engaging and engaging with clients, engaging with company content. So it's really the first piece is the strategy. Are we,
right.
You know, right. And in some cases they want people to become more creative and creators, but most of the time it depends on the company. So that's a really important distinction. I mean, haven't you found that as well? Are you finding most of the companies you're working with do want their people to be creators?
I think they want to know why they, like, I think that's my question, I guess, is like, you know, when we are deciding this, do we want them to be creators? Do we want them to be spent on customer service? Well, what is the benefit? I think about like, what's a story of like, why would I want them to be, why would I want them to take their time away from, you know, customer service or processes or production and now spend X amount of their time creating content, building their LinkedIn profiles, building their thought leadership, changing our strategy that direction. How is that going to help us?
So it's total visibility. I mean, so it's both on the customer side, the buying side, as well as even on the HR side. So if it, you know, from a candidate perspective, so it's all about the visibility. You know, I would say that most of the companies that I've seen, they can pretty easily get wrapped around the idea of having great profiles. They typically miss the whole networking piece. They need to understand that networking is important. But when it comes to content, I just see it all over the board. I mean, I would say there's one company that I'm working with now. They just picked a small group to be creators, and the rest of the sales team, they have about 200 people that are, they want them to be engaged and whatnot. But then they're just taking the small group to teach them to be creators. So that's kind of how they've done that. So it depends on the company, I think.
Yeah. And just like with when social media emerged more than a decade ago, do the executives get it, right? And if they get it, they're going to move pretty quickly and they're going to implement. If not, then it's going to take some trigger, right? Whether it's seeing, you know, a Sandra Long speak somewhere, or, you know, listening to one of Amanda Russell's podcasts or reading the Influencer Code. That's just been my experience out of all of this. To me and Sandra, I think you'd agree, and Amanda, you'd agree, you know, your employees are this incredible brand asset. And considering that organic reach for your content is close to zero, inciting word of mouth through employees is just sort of a no-brainer. And so to encourage that, I'm working with a real estate company. Now, real estate obviously is you know, you want your agents out there on social media. It's a no-brainer. But how do you encourage that? And we're encouraging that by leading, by actually leading not only our leaders, but our social media presence. We want to share the content of our agents. And we want to become the main influencer in the company that our agents would love to get shared from because the amplification. And it's a type of leading by example. And I think that every company in some way, whether it's a training program, and Sandra, I know you're involved in a lot of those. I really think that's what it comes down to. There's no other way to convince other than to look at the reality. And to us, it's so clear, Sandra, but to so many others, it's really not, right?
No, 100%. I mean, it's amazing. Training is needed. Even for people that are millennials or younger people, they definitely need guidance and training on this as well. And yeah, 100%.
Yeah, well, I'm starting a new course program in January called basically the nature of its personal branding, which is building your influence. And I couldn't help but think, wow, you'd be a great, that'd be either, I want to do a whole module on building your LinkedIn profile. I think it's important for anybody at any age in a professional setting. So that what a valuable resource you are.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Well, no, it's a fantastic topic. I mean, it's fun because there's so much evolution in terms of what's available now with all the new content features, the new profile features, and the fact that there's so many people are jumping into it, not just individuals as well as companies that are starting to really realize that this is really important for their success. So it's a fun time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So Sandra, thank you so much. Obviously, if people want to find out more about you, they should first go to Amazon and buy a copy of LinkedIn for Personal Branding. But where else can they find you on the internet and connect with you on social?
Well, the best place is LinkedIn, of course. Sandra Long, and I'm in the New York area if you're doing a search. So I'd love to hear and say you came from the podcast. That would be great.
And what about your website?
Postroadconsulting.com.
Postroadconsulting.com. We'll put that in the show notes. Sandra, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with the audience. I know there's a lot of great takeaways.
Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening to the School of Influence podcast. Amanda and Neil would be honored if you spend a minute to write a review wherever you are listening to this podcast to help expose these interviews to a broader audience. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. Even better, build your influence and ours by sharing this podcast on your favorite social media with hashtag School of Influence. We would love to hear from and engage with you.